The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way. Something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome again to my continuing series on the executive branch of government. This week's show features the Department of Health and Human Services. Did you know that this department is the department that has been tasked with implementing the Affordable Care Act, or as it is most commonly known and referred to, Obamacare? But that's another show. Did you also know that this department is, and I quote, government's principal agency for protecting the health of all Americans and providing essential human services, especially for those who are least able to help themselves? I bet you really didn't know that it was the government's responsibility to protect your health and provide you essential services. Have you looked or read the United States Constitution lately? Recall seeing that in the preamble, which all of us over 50 types had to memorize in school, it says provide for common defense, but only promote the general welfare. Looking further in Article 1, Section 8 of the enumerated clause, do we find anything about government providing health care or essential services? I dare say you won't. But let us proceed as we delve into the bowels of the Department of Health and Human Services, looking into what are the services and health protections that the department provides to us Americans. Today, as we first dig into what it is that the department is doing and how it's organized, first let us take a quick stroll down memory lane and again an overview and a short history of this protecting the health of all Americans and providing essential human services. The department, in its own website, claims 1798 as one of the first acts relating to the relief of sick and disabled persons, and in this case, it references specifically seamen. Sailors, for those unfamiliar with the older terms. When one delves deeper, one finds that through tariffs and duties on goods being brought into the U.S., the government promoted the care and well-being of seamen. In the 5th Congress, second session, it was approved and enacted on July the 16th, 1798, in that a duty on goods being brought into the U.S. would be collected for the temporary relief and support to defray these expenses, meaning promoting the care as to the relief of sick and disabled seamen. Notice, folks, it was not the citizens of the U.S. that would be responsible to pay for this obligation taken on by the U.S. government. It was the duties that would be collected. According to HHS's own timeline, not much occurred till 1862 with the appointment of a chemist by President Lincoln to serve in a new Department of Agriculture, the forerunner of the FDA. Everything seemed relatively quiet until after the 1930s, when it seemed government expanded and took on many more activities affecting our health and relations with what we ate, how we are medicated, who makes those decisions, and how much support and payment we would be receiving in our golden years. In the 1960s, the Great Society legislation, led by Lyndon Baines Johnson, spurred activity relating to helping those in need of help. Now, in 1979, the old Department of Health, Education, and Welfare changed in that the education function was removed and placed into a newly created Department of Education. And one other major change was the exiting of the Social Security Administration, which in 1995 was made into its own independent agency within the executive branch of government. The last significant entry on this timeline provided by HHS is 2010, with the passing of the Affordable Care Act signed by President Obama, putting in place comprehensive health insurance potentially covering everyone in America. But that's another session of the Did You Know Show also. Getting back to the nuts and bolts of the Department of Health and Human Services, we find that this department represents almost a quarter of all federal outlays and also administers more grant money than all other federal agencies. The current administration budget for 2014 calls for $967 billion in outlays, broken down by percentages to the distinct operating divisions. The largest being Medicare, 54%, followed by Medicaid, 31%, and then other discretionary programs, 8%, children's entitlement programs, 3%, and two other programs each getting 2% being other mandatory programs and TANF, or T-A-N-F, temporary assistance for needy families. The department does its work through 11 operating divisions, 8 distinct agencies in the realm of public health, and 3 in the human services area. The 11 operating divisions include 1, the Administration for Children and Families, or commonly referred to as ACF. It promotes the economic and social well-being of families, children, individuals, and communities. ACF administers 60 separate programs with a budget of $51 billion. Number 2 is the Administration for Community Living, $1.8 billion, referred to as the Administration that handles disability and aging programs. Third on our list is the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. This program's mission is to improve the quality, safety, efficiency, and effectiveness of healthcare in America. Number 4 is the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, whose budgetary funding was included within the CDC, which is number 5. The CDC, or Center for Disease Control and Prevention, spends $6.2 billion. Now comes the biggie. Number 6, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. This number is $853.4 billion. Medicare is health insurance for those over 65, including Part A hospital insurance, Part B medical insurance, and prescription drug coverage. Medicaid includes CHIPS, which is Children's Health Insurance Program, which provides health insurance to certain eligibility groups agreed to by the state and within the parameters that the federal government has set. Number 7 is the Food and Drug Administration. Everybody knows that, FDA. They get $2.5 billion, and it concerns itself with food, drugs, medical devices, radiation-emitting products, vaccines, blood and biologies, animals and veterinary, cosmetics, and tobacco products. Number 8 on the list is the Health Resources and Services Administration. HRSA, as I call it, HRSA, is a primary federal agency for improving access to health care services for people who are uninsured, isolated, or medically vulnerable. It has 6 bureaus and 10 offices. HRSA provides leadership and financial support to health care providers in every state and U.S. territory. HRSA grantees provide health care to uninsured people, people living with HIV, AIDS, and pregnant women, mothers, and children. They train health professionals, improve systems of care in rural communities. HRSA oversees organ, bone marrow, and cord blood donations. It compensates individuals harmed by vaccines and maintains databases that protect against health care malpractice, waste, fraud, and abuse. Number 9 is the Indian Health Service, and I never knew we had this, but its mission, which encompasses $4.7 billion, is to raise the physical, mental, social, and spiritual health of American Indians and Alaskan Natives to the highest level. Spiritual? I thought we had separation of church and state that everybody so worries about. Number 10 is one of my favorites, the National Institute of Health, called NIH. They get $31.3 billion, and this is the nation's medical research agency supporting scientific studies that turn discovery into health. The grand place. Number 11 is Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, which leads public health efforts to advance the behavioral health of the nation. SAMHSA's mission is to reduce the impact of substance abuse and mental illness on America's communities. Did you know how there seems to be a bit of overlap? And could not some of these entities be downsized or have other units incorporated to within them? Now, doing my math, and using the department's own figures for only 10 units because of the funding amount for the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry, which is included within the funding for CDC, one finds that $3.7 billion is left for operational and incidentals or necessary items. I originally was going to use figures from the individual division's own reports for 2014, but the numbers didn't match. And then finally, in one of the small print items, I found this, and I quote, Figures in this table are not displayed comparably and may differ from agency totals listed elsewhere in this document. I guess they said I shouldn't understand this stuff. And yes, while reading the budget reports for the Department of Health and Human Service, the figures in this report did not always match up with the data presented in the operating budget within the operating division's table in this report. Looking at the report, one saw that there was an additional $1.9 billion for emergency fund under public health, an additional operating cost the Department of Management, Civil Rights, Health Insurance Reform Implementation Funds, etc. Yes, just as it was stated that this department takes up one-fourth of the government spending, it would be in this department that one would find many abuses and much waste. Recently, the Office of the Inspector General within the Department of Health and Human Services issued a report in February of 2013, wherein they reported that it was a record-breaking year for the fraud recovery in the department. And I quote now, about $4.2 billion stolen or otherwise improperly obtained from the federal health care programs was recovered and returned to the Medicare trust funds, the Treasury, and others in fiscal 2012. However, is this really the case? In another article entitled HHS Watchdog Cancels Investigations, dated August 8, 2013, in MedPage Today, it was reported that the very watchdog, the OIG, rather than expanding its effort as to waste, fraud, and abuse, is actually instituting a hiring freeze and has offered buyouts to employees to retire. In this article, Gary Cantrell, Deputy Inspector General for the Four Investigations, states, I quote again, last year alone, we closed 1,200 fraud complaints due to lack of resources. And again, from that same article, Gary Cantrell, in testimony before a congressional committee, stated, I quote, this mission is challenged by the declining resources that OIG has to bring to bear at the time when Part D fraud, waste and abuse, and prescription drug diversion cases are on the rise. In another article, this time from Forbes magazine, dated 5/31/12, entitled Medicare and Medicaid Fraud is Costing Taxpayers Billions. Fraud in the healthcare industry is discussed, citing numerous examples, including huge multi-million dollar fraud, which was uncovered in both billing and equipment charge-offs by institutions and individual doctors. It seems there is money for expansion of the Health and Human Services mission, but not funds to address the problem of waste, fraud, and abuse. Back to HHS. The Department of Health and Human Services is geographically organized into 10 regions covering the United States. These 10 regions provide the physical space and location for the employees of the department to dispense those funds and run some of the different programs that the department deals in. As of 2010 census, there were approximately 70,000 employees carrying out the function of the Health and Human Services Department. And I continue to be stymied in my not being able to find the ratio of employee to supervisor in government websites. It just seems to be missing. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the hierarchy of this department, which is run by a secretary who is a cabinet member, and staff encircling her is one of the larger groups of employees. Under the secretary and her staff lie 15 separate offices, such as the Office of the Assistant, the Office of General Counsel, Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation, and 12 additional entities found in Washington, D.C., being paid substantial amounts of money as SES or Senior Executive Service employees. Well, that's about it for the Department of Health and Human Services. But before I leave, I do want to revisit waste, fraud, and abuse. The National Institute of Health is tasked with, and I quote, the nation's medical research agency supporting scientific studies that turn discovery into health. I was just going to give you a selection of wasteful grants, but just two stood out so blatantly that they stand on their own merit and make the point that government largesse is not always the answer to our problems. Before I tell you about this, I also found a neat little pie chart nestled in a general services suite, which showed that the Department of Human Services led the pack in federal assistance program with 38% of all programs in the government. This site is called the Catalog of Federal Domestic Assistance. Let me just read their statement here. The Catalog Federal Domestic Assistance provides a full listing of all federal programs available to state and local governments, including the District of Columbia, federally recognized Indian tribal governments, territories, and possessions of the United States, domestic, public, quasi-public, and private profit and nonprofit organizations and institutions, specialized groups, and individuals. Now, if you're interested in grant work, this is the place to go, folks, that I've been talking to in my shows. So now, my favorite. In 2009, the Department of Health and Human Services, through the National Institute of Health, awarded on May the 29th, 2009, $423,500 in a stimulus program. It was titled Barriers to Correct Condom Use. Yes, you heard me correct. Barriers to Correct Condom Use. This grant was awarded to Indiana University, Bloomington, Indiana. With our money through the auspices of the ARRA, it created, guess what, zero jobs. And to date, we still do not know who the top five recipients of the award were. Let me read to you the government mumbo-jumbo that they put out. This project is one of the first to examine, under controlled conditions, the role of cognitive and effective factors and condom skills in explaining condom use problems in young heterosexual adult men. And finally, from a report on Health and Human Services Head Start program by Fox News, an HHS study has revealed that since 1965, taxpayers have spent over $180 billion to improve kindergarten readiness of low-income children. The report further states that any benefits accrued in the Head Start program had dissipated by the time they reached the first grade. The study also found that the program failed to improve the literacy, math, and language skills. Even more interesting was the fact that HHS had sat on this report since collecting the data in 2008, but not releasing it till 2012. And that was on a Friday night. Head Start is an $8 billion program, or should I say boondoggle, that needs to be cut, but don't hold your breath, folks. You know, we are getting ripped off on a daily basis. I'd like to end this segment with a quote from my friend Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers. I quote, "I predict future happiness for America if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them." Thomas Jefferson. What a way to end a podcast. I hope you have better understanding as to the workings of the Department of Health and Human Services and what it does. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.